Back-to-back game nights for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeau, Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. 2 hours, and then we go right into pregame half an hour later tonight on Sportsnet Ontario. Yours truly, Justin Bourne. Elliot Friedman off of a three-day vacation in Florida.
No. He's been gathering information at the GM meeting.
There was Zippo, less than Zippo coming out of there of any significance.
But you don't know. You have to go.
I was watching our national broadcast yesterday, and they did a whole second period thing about how there was all this news that came out. Was I lied to?
What was the news? Do you remember?
Him and Kyle did a whole thing.
Sound important?
Well, they talked about the All-Star game, which they made sound important.
Oh, my God. We're all on the edge of our seat what happens.
Some CBA
with
stuff.
The All-Star.
What was the CBA stuff?
They're going to start in June, I think they're going to start negotiating.
Listen, I love Reach. I love Kyle. I love their podcast.
Yes,
they started talking.
Yes.
I was like, I wonder what's going on in the other hockey games.
We can't get a jersey, but that's okay. We'll send them first class down to Florida. No problem at all.
No sour grapes. None at all.
Zero sour grapes on my part.
You can't get a dinner for a regional broadcast. Any other grievances you want to have?
Bag of chips. Anyone out there, a bag of chips tonight. All right.
Now that note.
Enough of that.
Yep.
Rangers and the Leafs right back at it. Last night, 2-1 victory over a very good hockey club in Colorado. Yeah. I don't know whether we could call it a statement game for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but we can certainly say it was another building block.
Yeah, I think the statement is that Leafs win. Pretty big game. You know, they kind of been scuffling in the standings and against the good teams. Auston Matthews, good. Goaltender, very good. I mean, not that that's all that happened. We're going to get into it in depth here, but top line report of the day, pretty good all told as statements go.
I think.
How are you feeling these
they
days?
They didn't outplay them or anything.
You were down and out last week. They put together back-to-back wins, Calgary and a very good Colorado team. Are you sleeping better at night?
I sleep great. Regardless.
I don't believe that.
I sleep great. Unless I miss like a 6-footer for par for like an 84.
A week ago, you're still thinking about it.
But I think that if you want to talk about statement games, I think it was an individual statement game for two guys, or maybe three guys. Specifically for Joseph Woll, absolute statement game. Mm-hmm. Where coach puts his trust in him, kind of goes away from the rotation that they've been doing. On the second half of back-to-back, you think maybe Stolarz would get the first one. Woll gets the second one. Says he likes the way he's been playing. Puts him in there, and he's brilliant. He is as good as he's been all year. Statement game for Auston Matthews, who I thought was better than Nathan MacKinnon last night. And statement game for Jake McCabe, who I thought was brilliant last night as well.
25-40 or 25-30 for McCabe and ice time last night.
It did kind of bring us back to earlier in the season where they were able to get leads and then shut them down, like shut the opponents down. Mm-hmm. So I think over the course of the last couple of weeks for sure, started to question, you did on many times on our show, what's their identity? What are we looking for? That may be the closest we get to their identity moving forward, that they have to be a team that, I'll say it, needs great goaltending. Are they an average team? Average team with great goaltending and be in a position to now put the Tanevs of the world to test, Carlo to test. Like, those guys are great in their own zone. They block shots. They can move pucks out. Like, is that their identity right now? And then you hope that Auston can get hot, light a fire, go on a streak, and Bob's your uncle. This is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know, the Barry Trotz Islanders went to the conference final in back-to-back years, and they were bottom of the pile in, possession. Like, they just... The puck was in their zone all the time, but nothing happened in front of the net. They just defended the front, and they had great goaltending. You know, talking about identities, last night, Colorado Avalanche, puck in ozone time, 27:35. So you know, that's incredible. And then the Leafs were 19 minutes in the Colorado end. So 8.5 minutes more in their end.
3 minutes of that was at the end of the second period where the Leafs didn't touch the puck for, it felt like three to 4 minutes.
So they're in their own end the whole game. Slot shots for the game are 16-14 for the Leafs.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bit of a statement to me in itself. We're comfortable. They can have the puck here, but we can defend well enough to keep it to the outside and not give them anything too dangerous. And I didn't think that the Avs, as much as they dominated, got a lot of second chance opportunities. They got shots, they got looks, they had the puck. I didn't think it was like Wool diving to make secondary and third saves.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that, that sometimes you can look at the shots on goal and many of them can come from areas of the ice where it wasn't that threatening. Mm-hmm. I think I saw more of that than I have in previous games. So that kind of gives me some confidence to say that maybe it's turned a little bit back. Are you okay with this look moving forward, that this is what they are last night?
I think, yeah. I think denying the middle of the ice is something that we talked about a ton at the start of the year, and those numbers there provide the fact that they – how many shots did they end up with? Almost 40? And they had, what did you say,
39.
14 from the slot?
Correct, yeah.
So that tells you that they're doing a pretty good job of denying the middle of the ice, which is something that they can go with, and I do feel comfortable with it. Like, I mean, going forward towards the playoff, Kipper, you're asking me.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable against anyone in any situation as a fan, as a Leaf fan. And there's any Leaf fan who's listening to this who tells you they are, they're totally lying.
Well, they're not.
But
yeah, go ahead, Sam.
But no, but what it looks like last night, you could picture that type of game in the first round where it's 1-1. I mean, maybe not off of the back of a diving Kelly Sutherland. That's maybe not how you score your winning goal or whatever. But, like, you can picture a game in the playoffs looking like that. And sure, it makes me feel good. Like, having them win a couple in a row impressively, I feel better. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced, but I feel better.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I think it's absolutely fair. Yeah. I'm with you. It doesn't feel like they're going to be way better than anyone they play. Florida, Tampa Bay, whoever it may be. They're not going to be way better. So they have to be comfortable playing in close games. They're third in the NHL in one goal wins this year. So they've played a lot of close hockey.
I also do think that that's maybe the best team in the league. And they're going to make a lot of competition
look
like that on a night-to-night basis. So, I mean, the first period, they got three-quarter iced. Yeah. For much of the second period, they got three-quarter iced. And then they kind of rallied in the third and were the better team in the third. So give them credit for that.
For sure.
Tuesday, we had Steve Aliquette on. Mm-hmm. For those of you that didn't catch him, go download it because he's excellent. Of course, me and you, every once in a while, do this useful or useless with certain analytics, but he takes it to another level mm-hmm. and really applies it, especially with goaltenders. And he didn't waver one bit when he said, Joseph Woll's the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you kind of followed any of social media and the replies of you're crazy, Stolarz
really?
Is better. I got a lot of Stolarz is the guy,
yeah.
not Woll.
Yeah.
I think after last night, there really should be a strong feel that this thing is heading towards Joseph Woll in game one.
You think it's there now that it's his net to lose?
I think it's geared towards, yes. It's now, I believe that he would have to really look suspect and have some bad starts to think that this wouldn't shape up for Joseph Woll in game one.
So if both these guys play even from here, day one, it's Joseph Woll.
I'm not totally convinced on that.
I
am.
You are. Both you guys are full-on Woll guys.
No, but keep in mind, this is not like, it's not close. It's like, if it's today, if they're even on the way through, now he's got the leg up.
Stolarz had a bar so high that it kind of looks like he slipped the last 2 weeks. And it's not fair, but there is some slippage. Mm-hmm. Say what you will on how high the bar was.
You know what goal I hated? I hated David Perron's goal from Ottawa.
It almost handcuffed him.
Smacked it into the glove area. Went mid-net. I didn't like that one. Anyway.
I go back originally to the thought of signing Joseph Woll to that 4-year deal, $12 mm-hmm. million, $13 million.
I think three times.
Okay. Yeah. Three times four.
Three times three and change.
Okay.
$11 million, I think.
And then Stolarz comes in with a thought and idea that this guy will be a very good second guy. Mm-hmm. I think that's where they were all along. Of course, the injury came along to Joseph Woll in training camp.
Stolarz was better than expected,
but I think it's going to correct itself right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a fine thing. Stolarz on the year is a 918. The numbers are still really good, but Woll has been steady, and like you said before, the year very good. I do feel a little better about Woll when I think back to the games he went into against Boston. Were they down 3-1 when they first put him in game five?
Yeah,
and he won games 5 and 6 and looked tremendous. When he went in against Florida 2 years ago, he got their win in game 4 and looked great in game 5. I think they ended up losing by a goal in game 5, but
3-2 in overtime. Nick Cousins down the left wing.
Correct. Freak. But anyway,
you've never had a concussion, eh?
You can tell. Yeah. He has been really good in playoffs over those 4 starts for the Leafs. So I know it's a small sample, but still it makes you feel like he's not going to go in there and be like, "Oh my God, the moment."
I'm still not convinced. I'm not ready to give up.
All right.
I think that Woll's had a good stretch here. He won, like I said off the top, statement game for him after the coach goes against his rotation and gives him the net and he performs. But I really think that Stolarz has just as high-end potential in terms of stealing a game, which you need in the playoffs. Like, I think I saw yesterday that, you know, second in the NHL in goals saved above expected per 60 this year. Like, he's been an elite goaltender all year long. I don't want to be... Because I think Woll has a longer track record here where people know him better. But right now, just to be like, on March 20th, be like, I'm ready to... There's a lot of hockey to be played here, boys. And Stolarz has been really good. There's been really good. So I'm not giving up my boy Stolarz.
All right. Let's go to Craig Berube for our first Kippers Clipper of the day on Joseph Woll.
Yeah, he is excellent. You know, made some real good saves, held us in there in the first period. I didn't think we were on our toes in the first period. We looked like we were a little bit tentative, not aggressive enough, you know, kind of watching them move the puck around and skate.
It's great. Sorry, I was also perusing. You have a headline about how it is too early to give up on this Leafs team.
What?
Yeah, I did. I kind
of... you make fun of me so much for being Mr. Up and Down reactionary. You're just as bad. You're just Johnny Leaf fan
This is not a reaction to the wins, I don't believe. This is a reaction to the backlash of the slump.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, a lot of people wrote them off.
You didn't?
I wrote in my article today that, like, they may not get to a conference final, whatever that means, first round or second round loss. Mm. But now, with 14 games to go, it's just far too early for me for people to sit there and definitively say that this team has no heart or they can't score or they suck in their own zone. Mm. I mean, and it's not necessarily me looking at the Leafs and either loving them or hating them. I just look around the league right now and you just don't know what you're going to get from night to night. Mm-hmm. And I look at the Florida Panthers and they got some issues on the blue line going into the playoffs.
How about Seth Jones has stunk since he's been there?
Like 5-on-5, he's been horrible.
39% goal share, I think, when he's on the ice.
Tampa's still got some issues. I just think it's wide open. And I did write, you know what kind of led me to writing this article was the fact that the Florida Panthers at the exact same time as last season lost 8 of 10.
Did you hear that, folks?
8 of 10.
In March of 2024.
What were the Leafs, 1-6?
Yeah, they were 1-4-1 over 6 games.
And people were freaking out.
So what you're saying is,
carry
the one. The Leafs are going to win the cup?
What I'm saying, Sammy.
It's okay.
Is there's lots of time to crap all over them.
That's, you know, and people going like, you want to get hot now. It's like, now's not it. Hold. It's like eating an avocado. Hold.
Right.
Hold. Mm. Not ready yet.
Now I'm saying that.
Okay.
Last night, it's still a challenge to get to the net, boys. I don't know if they had, they must have had one good shot in the first 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I looked up and they had like three shots on goal, but one was Tanev on a dump in outside the blue line. There's stuff that they counted that really shouldn't count. But averaging seven shots a goal in the first two periods.
Seven shots per game in the first? Is that what he's saying? Sorry?
Yeah, they had 14 shots after 40 minutes.
Okay.
Like seven a period is not great. Didn't see a lot out of Tavares' line last night. No.
Except for the last two shifts of the game.
Yeah.
Where they were really good, but outside of that, not a ton of greatness.
Lawton's having a lot of trouble staying in the offensive zone or getting to the net. So this is stuff that in 14 games, somebody's got to gain some confidence here.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But what's going to be different?
Good question.
Well, let me take that on. Things are becoming different already here. Brandon Carlo has given them a true top four.
Yeah.
They have 4D that you can rely on pretty steadily. The other thing, and I'm now going to throw a meatball down the gut to Kip, is that Austin Matthews hadn't been very good for a long stretch.
Yeah.
We'd been excusing him for injuries and, you know, we don't know what's going on with this guy, yada, yada. Back-to-back really good games.
Yes.
That changes the links for the Leafs.
For sure.
And changes perhaps how we should talk about Matthews going forward.
Yeah, and stop with the, like, put the he's hurt or put anything, like, in that ballpark away here. It's like, don't want to hear it anymore. That something's going on with him. Let's just say that if he's not good, it's because he's not good.
And, you know, not to put words in your mouth here, but it's like, if he can look like he looked last night, 11 shot attempts, 8 shots, a goal, you know, all that puck play, and the night before against Calgary, 2 goals, 1 assist, has the puck, is the leader, whatever. If he can do it in back-to-back games, when he doesn't do it the next day, we don't get to go, oh, well, that one was because he's hurt. He either can do it, which he can, or he can't.
You just hope that in the event that there's a game 7 and they lose 2-1, they don't point to the four guys and say that that's the reason why we lost, you know? And I know it will end up that way.
Well, hold on.
I'm just I just hope that there could be more balance for them this time around. Even though there's not.
Yeah.
But there needs to be.
Yeah.
There needs to be, or else we're right back to where we were the last 3 years, where it's like if they don't get it done, then it's their fault. And
yeah, I will say, if you look at great players who win championships, you know, we often forget the corner three Ray Allen has to hit for LeBron to win the championship with Miami, or Steve Kerr hitting a bucket for Michael Jordan, Max Talbot scoring 2 in game 7 for Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
These guys who...
Sidney, who didn't come off the bench for most of that game because he was hurt.
Yeah, like a lot of these guys who are great...
Have their moments.
They need someone else in some moments to say, all right, we're going to get a piece of the pie for you here.
You mean like Steven Lorenz picking up a puck off a ref that got shot by a sniper, and when it goes down and scores a shorthanded goal that ends
ever
up being
ever since the ref fell or shot by, he thought he was going to get hit, and he dove out of the way, and he misread the shot.
I think
he dove.
He toe picked.
No, he dove. No. I think he blew a wheel.
He thinks he's going to hit it, so he's trying to dive under it. Go. We need to play that again.
He sees
it come off the stick. He thinks it's going to hit him, and he tries to dive under it. We got to re-rack that here.
No, he fell.
No, we didn't.
If they did a contest out of 18,000 people at the game last night to give them one moment to be an official, that's the way I expect that they would look or fall.
It's hard.
It's amazing.
That guy's ripping one at him from distance.
There's four guys out there, four extra guys, and they're never in the way.
Ghosts.
Like, you don't notice them until they go like this. Yeah. Like, you don't look at them. You don't think of them. And so when you see that happen, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And Kelly Sutherland watching Lorenz break, he's like, just bang it off the end glass, please.
Like, of course, Lorenz shoots in a shorty for the game winner. I'm sure in the ref's room after the game, they were just like, he had to shoot that in. Like, come on.
Some people are suggesting that he should blow the whistle down.
What?
I'm like...
He's a piece of the action out there. Like
dumbest things you could do.
Also, completely go against the rules of hockey for 100 years?
Yeah.
Just like, because, that's just, them's the breaks. He's on the ice. That's the part of it.
That's the human element of sport right there.
It is.
God, that's funny.
For all the, you know, times it goes against you, like, It's not like I'm sitting here today being like, well, they didn't deserve to win except for that bounce. Like, yeah, you get a break here, there, you lose.
Yeah, they got sometimes two really good breaks.
Yeah.
That if we look at Austin Matthews the last two or three months, how many times that you got, like, that used to go in for you.
Mm-hmm.
That used to go in for you.
Right.
Leafs also hit, what, three posts in that game? Feels like
Matthews hit one off the crossbar there, and McCabe rung one off the inside of the post. Yeah.
Feels like they've been banging off the post a little bit.
And Lorenz made a really good shot, and I don't want to take that away from him. But
it's not inside the post, is it?
Blackwood against Wall, like, no contest, pal.
Yeah. That's a can of corn for Wall.
If Colorado's goalie loses his net like that, regularly, that team will go nowhere. Like, he had no clue where his net was. And I thought he had enough time to recover off of the bounce off of Kelly Sutherland.
Goalie?
Yeah.
Tons of time.
Tons of time.
He picks it up outside the blue line.
Like, you can't give up that much glove.
No.
Blackwood. Great shot, Steve.
It's a great shot.
By the way,
it's a great shot.
Got to be the most likable guy in interviews. Yeah. Joseph Woll also gets a nod for being amiable and personable.
He was likable. He's likable. Yeah. But I mean, did you see the scoring chance stuff against that fourth line was together with him and Lawton? The fourth line, not pretty.
No.
Can we have a Lawton conversation, or is it still too early?
No. Okay. Have it all day long. You want to hear from Craig Berube on Lawton first?
Let's play it. Clip three.
Just a little bit. Like, I think he's trying to probably play the game without making mistakes, and he's overthinking things instead of just playing goal lots. Just play. Be aggressive. Do your thing, you know, and that'll come around. I do believe that. You know, he wants to do well, and, you know, he's got to loosen up and go play. Like, use your ability. You're a good player. You played in the league a long time. You know, just go play. I think he's holding back a little bit. Too safe almost, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. And remember I said to you before about him skating? Like, several times I've seen him, like, get the puck and stop moving his feet and be like, all right, like, you know, think about it or whatever. It's like,
I'm just not sure if Leaf fans know what to really expect out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really knew him coming in with any type of reputation other than he can play tough, he can be a thorn. It's not the scoring that ever stood out in his career with Philadelphia.
No, career high points of 43. He does have an 18-19 goal season, but that's like...
How long ago?
He had an 18 goal season in 23.
Okay.
You know, but like Cali Yarncroft scores 20 goals. That's what you're talking about.
Are we expecting him to put the puck in the net?
I think if you're a 43 points and 39 points, so a point every other game, I don't think goal scoring is a big part of what he's
doing. Okay, because I have not seen any creativity out of him.
I haven't seen him have the puck, really.
Yeah, I think he's desperate for one to enter the net off his stick here.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to.
I think he's a thinker, and Berube's onto something there. He's really, you know, that fight is like, I know I want to do something here.
For sure. But I think people got to just be realistic on what this guy is capable of doing. And I think, like, they gave up a first and a good prospect here. So there's a ton of pressure to be more than just a 3.5 fourth line guy.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what he's capable of really giving right now that would satisfy that.
Well, go ahead.
I just said, like, you know, it's so scary when you say first, but, like, they probably gave up a 28th in Grubankin. You know, it is a lot. I'm not saying it's nothing.
They're valuable pieces.
They are valuable pieces. But, you know, you're talking retention. You're talking about this is not a rental. There are other things that go into the value. And for a guy like this, I think soon at some point here, you have to put him in a position to succeed.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know what that means because...
I mean, they're trying everybody on the second line, left wing.
Like give him 18 minutes? Give him 20 minutes?
They haven't played him above the third line. They haven't played him with anyone yet. So if you...
Yeah, that's the old chicken and egg thing, okay? Ice time is earned or is it given and then earned?
And that's why I like to now that they didn't say... I've never liked in the past when they get Joe Thornton and they put him on the top line. They get Nick Ritchie and they put him on the top line. They get... Like, these guys, you should have to sort of earn your way there a little bit.
They were cheaper, though, to buy.
Well, that's fine. Right? And they still gave them the opportunity. So why not
first,
him?
First and prospects are top six guys, and they're Carlo, who can play 18, 20 minutes.
Right.
They're not 11-minute guys.
I know. So, Kip, don't play him 11 minutes then on the fourth line.
Unless he is you really think he's an 11-minute guy, and that's
Well, then
it.
Don't trade a first and a prospect if you think he's an 11-minute guy.
Too late.
Yeah. So my point here is...
It's definitely too late.
It is too late. They're grasping at straws for someone to play beside Nylander and Tavares. Grasping at straws. This guy, Lawton, played wing a lot for the Philadelphia Flyers. Torts preferred him there. If you're going to have Kampf in the press box and Holmberg playing center, you might as well have Holmberg play center on the third line, Kampf on the fourth line, and put Lawton on wing. Let him have a crack at second line left wing with JT and Willie.
14 games is enough for me to just see whatever you can do to help him relax.
Yeah, a couple of guys who can make a play. Maybe you play an extra 3 minutes per game for a few nights in a row, and you go, oh, I made a couple of plays and start to feel better about things. He wants it, and that's a great start.
I think it's funny to have him be like talking like, oh, you know, he's just got to find his game, got to find his, you know, he's just got to play his game or whatever. He's like, fourth line, 10 minutes. It's like, you're in control of this.
Yes.
Like, you can play him with guys who make a pass, you know, like, you're not. I'm just.
Do we have a lineup for tonight yet? Has anyone seen that come out?
No.
Kampf has to be back in. Has to be.
I'm looking at the Maple Leafs PR, the media information, and their pregame media availability will take place outside the visitor dressing room at around 4:45. So we'll probably get some news trickling in around then.
All right.
But I would imagine Kampf in.
Robertson out?
No.
I
think they've liked that third line. Holmberg.
You know, he shook my hand during the charity function.
No, but he's a threat of a goal. He's played well against sort of bad competition.
But he actually Rangers has some good plays. He reloaded last night in a good F3. A
couple of bad penalties, though.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Well, that happened 2 games ago.
No, last game
he was
too many
on the ice. It was him.
Was it him?
He jumped too early.
I mean, you get to make doofy brain farts when you're Willie and you shoot it in 40 times.
Yeah.
You don't get to when you play 12 and you're scoring 12 per year. So I'm curious to see if Berube says, okay, we need to have a reset.
Or you feel like beggars can't be choosers and he can still shoot it in the net. And I need that out there.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they were in a position where they're like, we can't do this without Nick Robertson?
It's a scary position to be in.
Yeah, I don't think they're there.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Robertson, by the way, I would also like to say I've changed my stance on this guy. Mm. As a player who, when he's not scoring, I think
he's an energy guy.
He is. He's hounds the puck and he lifts sticks and he's trying.
He even shoots after the whistle.
Shoots it after the whistle. He wants it to go in at all costs.
He's that eager.
Yeah. He is very eager. So I like him.
Yeah, they could use a little bit more from McMahon too. They could put him up into the top six at times, which they did, I think, a little bit last night. But like, I mean, he's got one goal.
In a dozen or something.
One goal since February 8th. Mm. So, you know, he gets really hot at times, and he can look really, really good, but you could get why he'd be a little bit frustrating for a coach with his size and, you know. Anyways.
Yep.
See, again, last night really was Bill Matthews and Nate MacKinnon, right?
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, if you go into a first round, it might be – Barkov or Point or whatever, there's always that chance that the first two big lines can kind of cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that, to me, it looked like that a little bit.
Yeah.
That they just canceled each other out. And that's where second, third, and fourth and Lorenz, that's the difference between winning and losing.
The bottom six for the Leafs is a pretty reliable, steady group. There's no one I'm like, that guy can't play. You know, like Yarncroc and, you know, Holmberg and Lorenz and Lawton, and these guys are solid hockey players. So, yeah, they should all have a game here and there where they chip in. Nice when Matthews is back and can handle the top line. He led the team in controlled entries, scoring chances off the rush, slot shots, OZ possession time, expected goals. He was the dude.
Yeah.
After the break, we'll welcome in Dave Maloney, former captain of the New York Rangers, does a terrific job on MSG. He'll help us tee up tonight's contest on Sportsnet Ontario. Justin Bourne, Nick Kiprios will be there alongside Elliot and David Amber. Mm-hmm. What Ranger team do we think will show up tonight?
Weirdest team in the league for me. Don't know on any given night who you're going to get. Lots of talent coming off a President's Trophy, but they just, their defense has been better lately, but like their D numbers are stinky. They're not very good at preventing opportunities.
The Rangers were the first team to reach 100 points in 23-24, doing so through 72 games on March 26th. Through 69 games this season, the Rangers just have 72 points.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a monster drop-off from last year.
They traded Trouba. They've done monster
things. Totally different team.
Out.
Yeah.
All right. Snow baloney. We've got Dave Maloney.
Got it. Brought to you by Boar's Head.
Just takes nothing to make you laugh, eh?
Yeah. I mean, that's just such a weird thing to say.
More when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. And we were talking about the Leafs earlier, having a challenge to get pucks to the net the last little while. How about the New York Rangers against Calgary the other night? Dave Maloney with us?
Not yet.
Nope. All right.
When he is, are you going to ask him about that?
Yes, I am.
I know.
Because that was a very tough loss for the New York Rangers, and they've had a few over the last little while, man. Everybody still tells me Shesterkin gives them the edge for a wild card spot, and just watching them, like, he was unbelievable too against Calgary.
So that was a back-to-back for the Flames. Leafs,
yes.
Rangers. Rangers had been off the night before and got 13 shots. They mustered 13 shots on Calgary that night. 5-3-5 by period at home to a team on a back-to-back.
With the last change. About that.
Like, what is that when your team has, you know, I don't even know what Panarin's numbers look like this year, but Trocheck and that Cooley and Lafreniere and JT Miller and Zibanejad and Kreider. Like, you know, Fox
Adam
and
Fox.
Miller.
What? I don't know.
It's inexplicable. They're like the Canucks this year. Something just seems rotten.
You thought JT Miller was going to come in there. I think he gave them some juice early.
He's had a good start. I'm losing my page here. He's had 18 points in 19 games.
Yeah.
Since being acquired.
I don't know what else he can do.
Well,
don't ask us. Let's ask the expert. Dave, thanks for joining us. Getting ready for Toronto Maple Leafs and the New York Rangers. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, if I had to pick analyst that had the toughest job in hockey this year, I think of you, our boy Valley, Hank, trying to describe the New York Rangers from one game to the next.
Well, I certainly appreciate that because it has been a bit of a battle. trying to keep it on the up and up, right? You know, it's just been really, to me, it goes back to July 1st. And this thing, the whole worm turned then, when the management, you know, attempted to do what they thought they had to do, and the fallouts from that, and it started from there. And despite the fact the team got out of the gates well, they weren't playing well. The goaltenders were spectacular, and here we are now again. You know, you've got like 13 games left, and it's going to be a stretch, I think, for this club to make the postseason.
Dave, excuse my ignorance. Remind me what happened on July 1st. What was it that they were trying to do with the team?
Well, what happened was they had a deal. It sounded like they had a deal in place to move Jacob Trouba. He opted out of that. He had the right to say no. And then they moved Barkley Goodrow.
Right.
Goodrow was waived. And those are the two of the really heart and soul guys. However you want to. We've all been in teams and stuff that are special guys in the room. And now, only in hindsight, do I think there's a recognition of just how important those two guys were to keep this group on the up and up. And once they were gone, and now, is that the sole reason? No, it's not. But I think it started then, and it just cast a bit of a pall over the season right from the get-go.
You know, the saving grace for, I think, the New York Rangers for many years, even going back to Hank Lundqvist, is that they had better goaltending than most here. And right. Shesterkin started, Dave, with a contract dispute that took a while. Not that anybody really truly believed that it wouldn't get done, but, you know, when you consider maybe the back and forth as a distraction, or even if you watch Swayman in Boston not really get his footing all season long, can that be attributed to maybe Shesterkin's inability to look as consistent as he has in the past?
I'm not sure about that. Okay. I don't think the contract issue was, I don't think it was ever contentious. I don't really think specific to that affecting his play. The thing is, he hasn't been who he has been. Right. And, but I really don't think that had anything to do with the contract. I think he has set such a standard for himself and, you know, for the franchise, that he's just been off kilter. He hasn't been quite as consistent. Now, he hasn't had much help in front of him either. He's still the most valuable player by the club, as is any goaltender, any top goaltender on any team is going to be the most important guy. But he just hasn't been quite as consistent with the standard he set. So he's probably guilty. He's guilty of setting the standard he does. And there's nothing there to assume [S2] Yep. [S1] Or to think there's anything wrong. It's just been one of those years.
Well, and I kind of want to use that same sort of idea to ask you about Zibanejad, a guy who, you know, he's played all the hockey games for the Rangers this year, and his points per game are just down considerably. Goals in particular, is plus minus way off. What's different with him, and is it just getting older?
Well, I do think that's part of it. I think he's, you know, he's heading north of 30, and listen, you know, I think I can't help but have reference a conversation I had with Jonathan Quick. We were in Washington, and he'd come off after a morning skate, and you could tell it was a grind. And, you know, I asked him how hard it was to stay competitive. You know, he said, it's very hard. It's, you know, you have to work, you know, that much harder just to stay even. And I just, at the start of the season through 2024, he was absolutely not a factor. No factor at all. He's been better since the count flipped it to 25. And he's been even better on the wing with JT Miller. I think what happens.
Dropped call.
Side, I don't.
Oh, we got him back. We got you back, Dave.
All right. I just was talking a little bit about Zibanejad, and I'm sorry. I'm just pulling into Grand Central here. And anyway, but no, Zibanejad hasn't been who they needed him to be, nor has Chris Kreider, nor has Adam Fox. Mm-hmm. So when you have your top guys that aren't your top guys, well, you're going to struggle, and that's exactly where the Rangers are.
As far as the guys in front of Shesterkin, a drop-off is the best way I can describe all of them. It's almost as if they're all not having career years together. And Adam Fox, of course, we've known him as one of the better puck movers and distributors, and kind of times is putting himself in the same conversation as a Quinn Hughes for pace of play or driving offense, and we certainly haven't seen that at a consistent level either, Dave.
No, there's no question, and I would kind of beg to differ on the Quinn Hughes comments. Adam doesn't move as quickly, right? Adam's game is the 6 inches between the right and left ear. And I think we saw in the Four Nations that he can become a little bit vulnerable if the pace is what it is. Mm-hmm. And there is no question, a guy that's going to take 23 minutes, 5-on-5, penalty kill, power play, he's a very, very good player. But when you start talking about Makar, Quinn Hughes, Sanderson in Ottawa, there's a different pace to the game that they're playing, and that's where it's headed. And, you know, the skill development continues to be what it is through the game. And listen, this is not, I don't know how it sounds. It shouldn't be sounding as a criticism. The reality is He is a very, very good defender. But when it comes to the guys who make a real, a real force off the back end, and I think of Makar and I think of Quinn Hughes, it's a different game.
Mm-hmm. So then, do you feel some hope about this Rangers team in that all these guys you mentioned are maybe not playing to their potential, but they won the President's Trophy last year. They're mm-hmm. still there. Mm-hmm. There's tons of talent and lots to like. Do you still feel like this can kind of come together for them over the closing month of the season?
Well, if you're only as good as your last game, no.
All right.
they were awful against Calgary. Awful. That's the comment coming out of the room. It was the biggest game of the year, and nobody showed up. So, far be it from me as an outsider. But if they're, again, you're playing Toronto. Like, I watched Toronto and Colorado last night. They're in a different league. They're in a different league than the teams that are playing, battling it out for the spots like the Rangers. And I think Colorado and Toronto got better at the trade deadline. I expect a better game here tonight from the Rangers because it can't be much poorer than it was against Calgary. And that takes nothing away from Calgary. Calgary simply outworked them. And in a lot of ways, that's inexcusable, right?
Right.
But, it's a little bit like, in hindsight, if we could all be hindsight managers and figure out what went wrong, well, you didn't show up. So the next night, you hope to show up. So it is going to be a battle. I think they have the second toughest schedule of the teams that are in that group, trying to battle it out. But the end could come quickly. If the last game is any indication, the end could come quickly for this group.
Just one more for me, Dave, before we let you go, as you tee up the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Rangers on MSG Network. If this doesn't bode well at the end of the year, could we expect some major changes with maybe the exception of JT Miller, who just arrived?
Well, yeah, I would think there's going to be, if they do not make the playoffs, I think there has to be perhaps address just the leadership group that the guys that have been here that have had legitimate kicks at the camp, but haven't gotten it done. Now you throw Miller into the mix, that's a whole different look. It's a whole different attitude about how to play and how to compete and things like that. So I would think now how Chris Durie and his staff goes about doing that, who knows? Can you find those intangibles in free agency? Can you find it, or do you have to reshuffle the deck a little bit when it comes to your top players? Because at the end of the day, this season, the top players just haven't been good enough.
Will be fascinating to watch tonight out of Madison Square Garden. Hey, Dave, really appreciate your time. Enjoy calling the game tonight.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
That is Dave Maloney, MSG Network hockey analyst, former New York Ranger captain, youngest to ever wear the C.
What's up, Sammy?
He sounds thrilled about the Rangers.
Listen, he's
not wrong.
No. Nice to hear him tell like it is.
Yeah. He knows. He knows, and he's too old to blow smoke.
It's so true. No, it's so true. It's like, that's not a guy who's like, I'm just being a fanalist and trying to keep my job. It's like, they're not very good right now. Their best players have not been very good. Mm. I don't see signs of it turning around.
Found it really refreshing.
One thing that I was thinking while he was talking was like, they're 14 or 15 games from the end of their season. They're in a fight for the playoffs to the death, and they got outworked at home. They got outworked at home. So is Peter Laviolette on the hook? Because as a coach, like, isn't that you got outworked at home?
He's always been one of those sort of short spurt guys, right? Where it's like a 3 or 4 year span where he goes in there, rips up the room, gets everybody going, and then it kind of goes down slowly. Feels like it could be happening right now.
I am a fan.
Me too.
Of Peter.
I think Peter's one of the best coaches in the league.
Yes.
True.
Maybe one of the best interviews we ever did on the show, too.
Agreed. Very thoughtful, smart guy.
And like, if this guy cannot push the right buttons, you're not finding another one to push the right buttons.
That's actually something we don't talk a lot about, is when a team has these talented guys on it and they underperform, we always go to the coach. Perhaps the guys here should be on the hook for who's motivating.
I would
that team.
Again, Dave nailed it. It's time to break up the band.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to happen before I would even look at a coaching change.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things. Housekeeping, first thing, Leafs line tomorrow because it's Friday already. Feels like a quick week when they
play every night.
It's a fast week. So 416-413-4141, call the Leafs line. And, I mean, if you're a non-Leaf fan listening to this hour and you want to call in for the National Hour,
we don't care. We'll play it.
Call in and talk about the Oilers, talk about the Flames, talk about the Canucks, talk about the Jets. We love Jets talk. Whatever you want to talk about, call in and we'll play it tomorrow. Secondly, did you guys see in the pregame, or I think it was Sean McKenzie did the feature on Benoit walking in with the briefcase?
Yes.
Did you know, did you end up see what happened?
I just saw Luke Fox say that it's a non-electric coffee maker.
Yeah.
So
coffee
machine, so he can have his flat white before the game just the way he likes it. So he's carrying a coffee maker, what looks like a poker chip case.
Yeah, I should have told Jake to pull it up for us.
We always had every once in a while a guy coming in with a briefcase. Yeah. And I'm like,
it's full of Skittles.
Comics.
Like, I would totally get, like, I love good coffee. I would never go as far as to say I'm a coffee snob. I'm the opposite. I love a cup of coffee. I even like a crappy rink coffee. Any kind
Same
of coffee, I love.
Yeah.
Coffee!
Bingo. Yes! But like, it's not like you're going to Carolina.
No.
Going to New York City. You can't find a good cup of coffee in New York City?
Well, it's not that you're going to be walking around Times
Square.
No, but
any nook and cranny of New York, you're going to be like, oh, there's an elite coffee shop.
Well, no, here's the better point. It's Madison Square Garden. Presumably, they provide a quality coffee for the guys.
It's just about routine.
Yes, it is.
And he wanted everybody to ask him why he's carrying a big silver briefcase wearing a pink beanie, right?
These guys make a lot of money, eh? Just all hauling around a non-electric flat white maker.
Whatever floats your boat. Just get the W.
I got no problem with it.
Just win, baby.
Hey, we're allowed to make fun of it. You're allowed to do it. Everyone's happy. Have at it.
I love any cup of coffee, but, you know.
Can I tell you, I recently went back from the pods to making a pot of coffee.
Oh, yeah. It's way better.
The pot is delightful.
Yes.
It's just a very satisfying experience.
I didn't start drinking coffee till like, after I was married.
What?
My wife got me on coffee.
She's like, you're Greek. You guys do the Greek coffee?
Yeah,
isn't that a thing? Is it frothy?
Yeah, I always thought it was like drinking my driveway. It's that Greek coffee.
It's like cold.
It was like tar.
So hold on. So you just, like, all through your playing career, you never had a cup of coffee before a game?
Know, there are guys.
That's insane.
Does he seem like a guy who needs energy?
A cup of coffee. I'm going to beer league. It's a 10 o'clock game. I will have a coffee.
We would get off the bus, and if there wasn't coffee already waiting, some of the vets would lose their junk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is the coffee? Yeah. They cannot even breathe without a coffee.
But he slide into an AA meeting and see what you need coffee.
Yeah.
There's some boys looking for a pick-me-up in there.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it is. It's an essential part of the lifestyle.
You think the Rangers show up tonight and give the Leafs a bit of a fight, or is this...
Oh, here we go.
There he is. God.
Is he walking in?
Who did that? Is that Jake Schultz?
He looks like a ventriloquist carrying his...
He looks like an East Coast fisherman is what he looks like. And also Jake McCabe looks like a hitman.
Yeah, and he is a hitman.
Yeah, they win that game yesterday, and they did an interview with him.
Yeah.
And damned if he smiled.
Jake should be, like, starring in a Netflix series.
Who was it that...
Called The Murderer, and he's the murderer, and everyone knows he's the murderer, and he doesn't care.
Who is... I forget who I saw and said that he looks like he would man a Tommy gun in a mafia movie. That's what he looks like. He's got that. He's got a gritty face.
100%.
I love him.
What are you, Sammy, in a Netflix?
Like the twerp guy that like says a couple lines in a sports documentary. That's what I am. I was on Amazon. I was literally that.
Yeah.
In their 24/7 or whatever the hell they did. My voice is in there.
Yeah. I see a lot of Kramer in you. Tripping falling and spilling.
I was Kramer 3 to 4 years in a row for Halloween in high school.
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't even like Seinfeld.
I told you. I can see it. Yeah.
How do you just change your clothes a bit?
No, I just put on like a stupid suit jacket and like
Who are you? Like, I'm Kramer. All right.
Yeah, it was Kramer. Yeah. Put my hair in a little thing and away we went.
I see you starring in Suits Toronto.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll see. Take that.
Right?
That's obnoxious, smug, overrated.
Snake of a lawyer. You got snake lawyer written all over you.
That sounds bang on, bud.
You'd be a lot richer then, at least.
All right. Just like that, we've solved nothing for the Toronto Maple Leafs this past hour. Let's see if we can spread it around in the National Hour when we welcome in Doug Armstrong, president of hockey operations, general manager. He also just milked 3 days, I'm sure, in Florida with Elliot. We'll get into that and more. Don't go away!